In this week's episode of the Working With podcast, I have a very special guest. This week, in part one of episode 75, we have David Allen, the GTD guy. Hello and welcome to episode 75 of my Working With podcast, a podcast created to answer all your questions about productivity, GTD, self-development and goal planning. My name is Carl Pullin and I am your host for this show. And this week do we have a very special episode for you. This week I have an incredibly special guest. I have David Allen, the author of Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Living, on the show. And in this first part, David and I discuss email and the collection and clarification, as well as the weekly review. So this episode is going to be a little bit longer than normal. It's going to run to around about 25 minutes, but I want you to sit back and learn from the wisdom of the guy who wrote the Bible of modern productivity, David Allen. So let's get straight into it this week. So let's get started with David Allen.
So thank you very much, David, for joining me on this podcast. This is the 75th episode. So
wow.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Thanks for the invitation, Carl. Yeah, delighted to be here.
Excellent. Right. So I wanted to start off talking about the GTD Summit because that's coming up pretty soon, 20th and 21st of June, if I remember.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So what is this, the GTD Summit, all about? Because I think I remember you saying somewhere that you did 10 years ago.
We did one 10 years ago in San Francisco just to kind of raise the flag that, you know, GTD had started to become a bit of a phenomenon and a lot of very cool people that were champions of it. So we said, well, let's just see who might come to a conference, you know, of people that are interested in GTD. There's no one common denominator about people interested in GTD, except that everybody who is assumes that life is going to be better 18 months from now. So it's kind of like they're lifelong learners that are just that just keep wanting to improve, get better, get lazier, I don't know, you know, whatever it is. So it was fascinating. And also because the GTD, one of the things we wanted to do, you know, one of our marketing guys said, look guys, you know, GTD is kind of this brand that ran out from under us. Because, you know, once the book got published in all those different languages, especially in the tech community, you know, there were all kind of pirates out there saying we do GTD because all you had to do was read the book and say, oh, well, gee, I could do that. And so people weren't even connected to the source at all. So, you know, for various reasons, we decided to do it then. But of course, we did it in the beginning of 2009, which, if you can remember, the world was crashing and burning then. So,
oh yes, yes.
You know, it was not a real, financially, it was not a very successful event, but it was a very cool event. We had about 35 people that presented on panels and keynotes. And about 300 people, 400 people that were there. And Paul Saffo, who teaches at UCLA, and he's a futurist, very cool guy. He was one of our speakers. He said, David, don't do another one of these. It was such a unique event that don't make this some sort of template that you do regularly.
It's an annual event.
I said, fine. You know, I don't need to lose money on a regular basis. No, thank you very much. So we didn't. And then, you know, come on, fast forward 10 years later, just because it's the 10th anniversary of when that happened. And the fact that GTD has become a pretty much a global phenomena and really a movement really around the world. And over the last, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, we've now partnered and have licensees that we've certified to deliver our training all around the world. We're officially in 60 countries now, though some of those are not, you know, not particularly that active, but So because of that, because of the global phenomena, and we have all kinds of cool people, I said, well, come on, I guess it's time to raise the flag again. And come on, Carl, I'm 73. I'm not going to do this again. You know, and I said, I think it's time to just put a stake in the ground out there so that, you know, the cool thing is there are at least, you know, 15, 20 people that I know that we've certified as trainers that if I got run over by a bus or just fall over while we're talking here, you know, mm-hmm. that this movement will keep going. And this set of best practices is going to be, you know, it will stick mm-hmm. around on the planet. So I just wanted to, you know, raise the flag again, put that mm-hmm. stake in the ground, and have all of them sort of meet each other, because they, you know, it's kind of a global phenomenon. We haven't had really any, not much other than sort of our virtual, you know, communications with our community of practice, you know, of our trainers. But otherwise, just thought it'd be cool to do. So I saw
you got some amazing speakers there, like Marshall Goldsmith. I mean, like leading the world in leadership, and Cody Coleman. Now, I think I remember, I don't know if I read this somewhere or heard you talk about this, that she actually learned GTD while she was on the International Space Station.
Katie's great. Yes, our coach, our, you know, virtual coach was coaching Katie while they were going, traveling around the planet. So I had to ask Katie, I said, how do you manage an in-basket in zero gravity? You
know? Yeah, that would be, yeah. That's...
What? She
said, nah, even paperweights are not going to work.
Yeah. No, it's great. And, you know, the worst thing about it is all of those, we have 40 plus speakers. I mean, when I sent out my invitation to kind of to my A-list, we got oversubscribed in terms of presenters on their own dime that just wanted to come and, you know, a lot of them, I think, just give thanks for GTD, you know, and help just support the movement out there. And all of them are friends of mine, and all of them are champions of GTD, which is, so you, if anybody goes to gtdsummit.com, you know, you'll see that, you'll see a whole group of people that are fascinating. So, yeah.
Well, I did actually, I noticed a lot of authors in there. Is that, is because GTD naturally works for authors?
No, GTD naturally doesn't work for anybody. Well, it naturally works for anybody, but not for everybody. But authors, well, we've got physicians, we've got authors, you know, we've got astronauts, we've got musicians, we've got, you know, a whole range, because GTD is universal. It's kind of like gravity. Everybody's in it.
Yeah, it does. As I say, it's because I teach, and it works very well for me. And I know it works very well for a lot of business people that I've, you know, worked with. But it's kind of funny, when I do my coaching programs, I usually have a questionnaire: what books have you read? Every single one has read GTD.
Really? Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. Nice to hear. Yay.
It seems to be like the, I would say it's like the Bible of like what I describe.
Well, it's at least something you need to have on your shelf. A lot of those people have it on their shelf. They just haven't read it or haven't done it, but they at least have it.
No, yeah, actually, I for anyone listening, I should say, I reread it every year. One of the fascinating things is, and I didn't read it at Christmas this year because I knew I was flying in April, so I'm waiting to fly, so I'll be reading it again in about 2 weeks' time. But the thing that I always find is, it's always a year between reading, and every time I read it, it's not that I'm learning something new, it's something, that's why it's not working.
Yeah, I had somebody, and maybe you've caught up with him, he said he'd read it 12 times and it's a different book every time he reads it.
It is. So. It's amazing how much you miss. And then when you reread it, you pick up. It's like things start clicking.
Yeah. Well, you're ready for another cut of application for sure.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive way that there's not many books I can say that I reread that often. Fortunate now that the second edition that came out 2015, I got the Kindle version, so now it's permanently on my iPad. So wherever I go, it's with me. Yeah. So it's some more like general questions in terms of GTD is now. One of the things that it was sort of like an eye-opening moment for me is when I first read GTD and first implemented it, I saw it as a system. But gradually over time, that sort of changed, and I started realizing that GTD, well, for me, certainly became more of guiding principles.
Yeah, we call it a system. It's not so much a system as a systematic approach. Mm. You know, when we do this work, sorry. When we do this work in organizations, you know, in training, you know, one of our way to describe the deliverable is an installed thought process. Because GTD is just about good business. I mean, it's just outcome and action, which are the zeros and ones of productivity. What are we trying to accomplish? And how do we allocate or reallocate resources or attention to make that happen? Right. So outcome and action are the two elements, essentially, of how you clarify anything that's potentially meaningful that's come into your world. So
yes,
you know, you shouldn't start meetings without going, what are we trying to accomplish? you know, by what time, and you shouldn't end the discussion without going, so what do we decide, if anything, and what's the next step and who's got it? You know, so come on. That's just like, duh.
Yeah.
But it's a duh that a whole lot of people don't do. And so,
I know.
so you're right. So you're right. It's not so much a system, because it's system independent. In other words, it's tool independent. You do need some sort of something to hold your external brain. Mm. So, but you can write it on your arm. You can digitalize it. You can put it in paper. As long as you get that, stop using your head as your office. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
Your head's just a terrible office. So.
It's amazing how many people I see that have real difficulty capturing stuff. And I'm thinking, well, to me, that's the easiest part of GTD is the capturing. The harder part is actually defining what it is, because usually you're capturing it in the moment. And I know you break. I mean, I've learned now not to write dog or cat or mama. I've learned that when I've seen you mention that many, many, many times. It does sunk in. But actually, something I learned a couple of years ago was, rather than saying buy dog food, I actually say buy Barney, which is my dog's name, food, because that sort of like puts a little bit of emotion into it. It's less likely for me to reschedule it.
Yay.
So it's kind of, you start off with like buy dog food, so you're being very clear, but then you start thinking, nah, that's boring. And you start adding a little bit of emotion into it. But yeah, it's the collection part. I'm surprised. To me, that's the easiest part. But as I say, a lot of people.
Yeah. No. It's the second. The clarifying piece is the thing that, you know, I avoid that too. Mm. You know, well, come on. I'm living in Amsterdam, trying to learn Dutch, you know, as best I can, and I get a lot of stuff in Dutch in my mail.
Right? Oh yes.
So I throw it in my in basket, and man, do I not want to look at it. You know, I have so worn thin Google Translate, you know, on my computer.
Well, yeah,
I don't know whether they're asking me that I need to pay the money or they're going to pay me money. It's like, oh my God, you know. And so just the habit of getting the in basket down to zero forces me to make those decisions. And, you know, again, as Charles Duhigg, you know, my friend who wrote The Power of Habit, said, you know, you need some keystone habits. Mm. And the keystone habits are the ones that if you did those, that'll get you to do a lot of other things you need to do.
Yeah.
You know? So my keystone habit is getting the inbox to empty, forces me to make those decisions. I don't want to, oh my God, what is this thing? So clarifying what this thing is and what I need to do about it, if anything, is truly the toughest thing. But that's why that's such a great habit. If you could build that in, it forces you to make the decisions about the things that you let into your life. You know, come on, you know, the door's not locked. I don't have to live in Amsterdam. I don't have to try to learn Dutch. I don't have to do any of that. But because I want to do all that, I've allowed those things to come into my life.
Yeah.
So most people, you know, the most overwhelmed people are usually the most creative, the most productive people already. They've just created a lot more than their systems or their approach has been able to keep up with.
Well, that's something I come across a lot, actually, is that people tend to, overpopulate their to-do lists. And then they go, oh, I'm overwhelmed, I'm busy, I don't know where to start. And actually, another thing I actually picture from the book is just start from the top.
If you look outside, the world is not overwhelmed. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's how we're engaged with the world that's the problem. So you hit it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like that one. It's that always start at the top. You can't go wrong really with that one.
Really.
Now, the biggest problem that I find that people are having these days is the thorny subject of email. Now, personally, I've never had a problem with email. Merlin Mann's GT Inbox Zero, I learned probably 10 years ago, and I've lived that pretty much ever since. I kind of have a little bit of your thinking in there, that as long as it's zeroed out every 24 to 48 hours, I'm happy. But a lot of people really are struggling with email. And they, is there any like principles that they can follow that could like maybe give them a light bulb moment in managing all that email that's coming in?
Well, there's a fast way to get control of it. It may not be the most effective way permanently to do it, but I've coached many, 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 many people, thousands of hours, you know, one-on-one down at their desk with that. One way first of all, delete everything you need to delete. I mean, a whole lot of people just keeping crap in their bin baskets. Yeah, you know? It's like, come on. There's a key on your computer, at least in English, that has a DEL on it. You know, go and use it. You know, get you know, dump it. Get out of there. Secondly, get rid of your allergy to filing. You know, a lot of people just want to keep stuff in their in tray in email as reference. You know, come on, you know, stop. You know, create a file on the navigator bar, you know, for you know, person, topic, something or other. You know, I've got hundreds of files, and I don't even nest them because it's a pain in the butt to open a nest. Yeah. So mine is just one simple alpha sort by person, by topic, by theme, whatever. And if I just need to keep it, then I just drag it over and, you know, either make a folder or drag it into a folder that's obvious. So if you delete everything you need to delete, then file everything you need to file. There's no action on you just want to keep. That's going to reduce email a ton. Yeah. And then use the 2-minute rule. Any email that you can respond to or deal with in less than 2 minutes, as you know, 2-minute rule is magic. You know, save you a ton of time. So deal with that. So if you delete, file, and handle the 2-minute stuff, the only two things that are left are emails you're waiting for something to come back to you, or it's an email that's going to take you longer than 2 minutes to deal with in terms of what you need to do. So you can create two folders real quick, you know, in your navigator folder system, and use some sort of a prefix so it doesn't look like just a reference folder, and throw it to the top of your sort. So if you're in Outlook, for instance, using the at sign, you know, it's pretty common. So if you make an at action and an at waiting for folder, you can take all the bigger honker emails and drag them into the action folder and take the emails that are representing something you're waiting on to come back from somebody into a waiting for folder.
Yeah.
Guess what's left in your email? Zero. Right. Yeah. Now you're at inbox zero. Here's the biggest problem is most people get so excited that they've never seen that before. They get so excited, you know, they just go party hardy and never open the action folder. You know, and that,
of course,
you know, so you have to have enough discipline and enough focus, you know, to be able to make that system work. And then all those emails that are sitting in your action folder need to be reviewed, just like all the other actions that you might need to do that you can't finish in the moment, as your inventory, you know, of actionable things to do in and around your meetings and calendar stuff.
I mean, I stole an idea from Winston Churchill. I never knew him. He died before I was born, actually. But Winston Churchill had this rubber stamp, which had action this day on it. It was a big red rubber stamp.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Any document he wanted action on, he would stamp it with this big red stamp, action this day. And I actually use that in my email now. That's my action folder, action this day. The reason I use it this day is because it adds that little bit of urgency and I try to respond within 24 hours. One thing I've always noticed when communicating with you is you do apply the 24-hour rule.
Yeah.
It's always within
I hate backlog. I'm allergic to backlog because you know, the smaller your backlog, the easier it is to deal with new input.
Yeah.
You know, if you got the larger your backlog of uncaptured, unclarified, unorganized stuff, the more any new input's a pain in the butt. You know,
it is.
Even if it's good stuff.
Yeah. And one of the things I've heard you say many times actually is like something big is coming. It could be good, bad, indifferent, but it's coming. And you need to be ready for that. And I think I saw a presentation where you actually had an image of a tiger or jaguar or something sitting
a cougar.
On the rock. You could see in the eyes, it was ready. Right. It was relaxed, but it was relaxed. Ready for anything.
Focus, 360 degree sensitivity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought, that's GTD. You're ready. Yep. you've got everything under control, and you know you've got it done.
That's one of my second book was called Ready for Anything.
Yeah,
that's
the idea. And, it's one of those. One of the beauties of it is that now one of the, that going actually probably linked to that is something that I heard you mention before. I loved the phrase, which was being situationally aware. It's like apparently it's a military term. Could you explain a little bit more about that? Because I think that's going to fascinate a lot of the listeners.
Well, I think it's somewhat self-explanatory. That is, you're wherever you are, you're sort of tuned to whatever it is. I mean, the military trains people. That's a lot of the training, is they throw people into a simulated environment called that's a bad guy, that's a good guy, you know, fast, quick. And how fast can you trust your intuitive judgments, you know, about what to do, what not to do, you know, where to go. And that requires a really clear head, you know, to be able to then be aware of that. So that, you know, prioritizing and deciding what to do, come on. You know, we don't have time to think. We need to have already thought.
Yeah.
So that's why I say, you know, I think about once a week. You know, the weekly review is my thinking time, you know, where I sit down and really think. You know, I lift up and, you know, and look at the, start to manage the forest instead of just hugging my trees. You know, and that then allows me what I call galvanize my intuitive judgments. Because when it happens, it happens too fast to have to, you know, analyze, you know, what to do, which email to write, which thing to do, which, you know, whether you want to deal with your dog or whether you want to cook spaghetti or whether you want to take a nap or whether you want to write a business plan, you know, what do you do at any point in time? And there's no simple formula. You know, I hate the ABC, 1, 2, 3, high, medium, and low priority. You know, that's just like stupid, you know, because our life is so much more complex. And
I did it for 13 years. And I actually got so.
Oh, no, you were a Franklin Covey guy.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I did it for 13 years. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
But actually, I found it very liberating once I got rid of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very liberating.
It gets rid of, you know, yeah, if you decide to go, you know, saute onions instead of work on the business plan, is that, you know, is that a priority? Well, sure. At that point in time, of course, you have to do that. And so, yeah, all that other stuff creates just more guilt and frustration than it does, you know, help. Yeah. I understand the value of it. I mean, obviously you could take a look at any, if you listed all the phone calls you need to make and all the errands you need to run, you could pretty simply answer which one of those would be the biggest thing that would make the biggest difference if you handled it.
Yeah.
You're not stupid. Yeah. You know, nobody is.
Yeah, so you say, what's the loudest thing in your head at the moment? You know,
how I make the decision. It's called what's most got my attention right now that would create the most space in my head if I got it handled.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that's actually, you mentioned the weekly review, and people actually ask me, how long does it take you to do a weekly review? For me, it takes roughly just under an hour for me, but you've been doing weekly reviews a lot longer than I have. So how long does it normally take you to do a weekly review?
As long as it takes.
Because
you know, and that's highly dependent upon how complex the life, the week was that I've just finished, how many things went on that I haven't really caught up or brought up the rear guard about. So, you know, it doesn't take that long these days, but come on, you know, I like to use the analogy. I mean, if you like sports, you know, come on, you're in, I don't know. Are you guys soccer or football people or basketball, but you know, whatever you are.
I was rugby. Right?
Okay, rugby, right. Well, you know, how long does a rugby team practice before it actually does its work, plays the game, right?
Yeah.
And most people won't even spend 5 minutes thinking about their day, right? Mm. They just start cranking as opposed to, come on, step back, take a look, you know, prepare for your work. You know, Jesus, if people just, even if you work an 8-hour day, if you spent the first 7 hours getting ready, the last hour is going to be hot.
Well, it would be.
Really going to be hot, you know. And most people complain about, you know, about and I know it is probably the toughest habit of GTD is to build in the habit of the weekly review. I still have to make myself do it.
Yeah. I've now got it into a routine. Sunday afternoon, cup of tea and nice music.
Yeah.
it's just perfect. It's
What music do you like? Do you do?
Well, actually, I'm into a British band called Above and Beyond, but Armin van Buuren is in your adopted city now. I love Armin van Buuren. I'm into like the electronic, but not the heavy electronic dance music, more of the softer stuff. I suppose they call it trance music, but I love that stuff and can listen to it for hours and hours and hours and hours.
My favorite was, I don't do it now, but my favorite was for many, many years is Telemann and Vivaldi. You know, the orchestras, the concertos, Telemann Vivaldi concertos were the best, you know, sort of baroque.
And for doing weekly reviews. It's just one of those, I don't know why, it's that cup of tea. I get my English teas. There's a wonderful website called the British Corner Shop where I can get my British tea. get like 280 tea bags in one go. So I've got good supply of British tea and I'm very happy. So
then you're doing your cuppas.
Yeah, get me a cuppa. Very important. Yeah.
So there we go. That's it for the first part of this conversation with David Allen. I hope you enjoyed it and I hope you've learned a few things from this conversation. Part two of my conversation with David Allen will be published on Friday. So if you're subscribed to this podcast, that should be dropping into your subscription service of choice sometime on Friday. Thank you very much for listening to the episode. It just remains for me now to wish you all a very, very productive week.